This morning, we have two cases which will be orally argued, and two cases that will be submitted on the record. First case on the record for the purposes of our recording is 2009-1506, In Re Aurora. Second submitted case on the record is 2010-3037, Becker versus the VA. First case to be orally argued is 2009-3256, Chen versus MSPB. Mr. Mulhern, whenever you're ready, you're reserved 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Yes, Your Honor.
You may proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Robert J. Mulhern. I'm the attorney for the petitioner, Elizabeth A. Chen. The pivotal issue in this case is whether Mrs. Chen was in the Federal Career Internship Program. The administrative judge out of California held that she was, and the full board out of Washington, D.C. affirmed that decision.
Does that make a difference to where it's located?
No, I don't think so, Your Honor.
If we, just hypothetically, were to agree with the government that she was properly appointed under subsection E of these regulations, and we were to reject your leap year argument, then you'd lose the case, right?
Your Honor, 3205E was the wrong authority.
Well, I understand. That's why I'm saying hypothetically. I'm just trying to understand what the issues are. If we reject your position and hold that she was properly appointed under E, and if we reject your leap year argument, the case is over. That's it, right?
Your Honor, 3205E.
Is it yes or no?
Yes, Your Honor.
So explain to me why it is then that they couldn't properly proceed under E. Okay.
3205E, Your Honor, there are several reasons. First, ATF admitted that my client was in the Federal Career Internship Program. If we look at...
Where do you get that from?
Page 9 of the decision, Your Honor.
Page 9 of the MSP...
It's page 9 of the appendix, and it's the initial decision.
Well, the government says that's a mistake, right?
It's no mistake, Your Honor. They held it, and it was affirmed by the full board.
I thought the government's position was that she was appointed under E and not into the career internship program.
Yeah, if they admit that she was appointed under, we'll call it O rather than E, if they admit she was appointed under O, then you win. So are you saying they've admitted it, case is over, why are you here?
Your Honor, because they admitted in their termination letter that my client was in the...
No, wait a minute. They don't admit it in their termination letter. They wrote, first of all, the determination of how she gets appointed is in the appointments document. In the termination letter, you're quite right. They wrote that she was under O. The question is, which controls, the appointment document or the termination document, right?
Your Honor, we look at the totality of the circumstances. If we don't look at the intent of the agency, it's the totality of the circumstances.
But isn't it
no, we look
controlling
at the
as to the documents that were the initial appointment documents? I mean, that's how the appointment is made, by the initial appointment documents. That's how your standing is within the employment community at that point.
Your Honor,
termination is a separate issue.
If you look at the totality of the circumstances and you look at the termination letter specifically said my client was in the Federal Career Internship Program.
Let's assume, counsel, that a year after she went to work for the ATF, I visited ATF and I looked at Ms. Chen and I said, oh, there's a Ms. Chen working here. What program is she appointed under? What would the answer have been?
the federal career internship program. If you look at...
Wait. First of all, there's a problem with terminology. Federal career internship program, both the O program and the E program use the same language. One's a pilot program. One was eventually the official program, right? So let's call E the pilot program. Can we do that?
Yes, Your Honor.
You're with me on that one?
Yes, Your Honor.
Was she appointed under the pilot program?
Yes, Your Honor.
No. So at the end of her first year of appointment...
No, Your Honor.
No?
And I'm going to take back what I just said.
Oh,
she
all
was
right.
Appointed.
Well, the government does it too, so go ahead.
She was appointed under 32020, the Federal Career Internship Program, using that authority. That's what she was appointed under.
Remind me where in the record is that appointing document? I was just looking for it again.
Your Honor, 32.
I'm sure I have it somewhere.
3205E had to be replaced by 32020. The pilot phase was replaced by the federal career internship.
Well, is your theory that she couldn't be appointed under E because that authority didn't exist anymore?
Yes, Your Honor, because it was replaced.
How do we know it was replaced?
If the pilot program was not replaced by 32020, it violates the executive order. And in the letter dated November 4th, 1999, and March 30th, 2000, it specifically said that you had to follow the terms and conditions of the Executive Order 13162, which created the Federal Career Internship Program.
Well, how did the executive order deprive them of the authority under E?
Because 3205E, if it didn't replace it, violated the executive order. For example,
how?
The Federal Career Internship Program was a maximum of 3 years. The pilot program was a maximum of 3 years and 120 days. The executive order specifically states it can be no more than 3 years. The Federal Career Internship Program, which is Executive Order 13162, required ATF to
Where is this provision in the executive order? Show us the language.
Your Honor, if you look at Section A of the executive order,
where?
It's
where?
Our appendix, the appellant's appendix on page 4, on page 34.
34?
Yes, Your Honor. It's Section 4A. And it's... And it says a successful candidate should not be appointed position in the Schedule B of the accepted service at GS 5, 7, or 9, unless otherwise approved by OPM. ATF was required in writing to request an extension from 2 years to 3 years, which did not occur. By the admission of the Merit System Protection Board, there was no evidence that we had such an extension.
But this executive order seems to be describing the Federal Career Internship Program rather than limiting the authority under E.
But E was replaced as of July 6, 2000, when President Clinton signed the executive order.
How do we know that?
Because one of the reasons it violates 3205E violates this, not only Section 32020, but violates the executive order. And the reason being is, one of the main reasons is the executive order itself states it can only be for 3 years, the maximum term.
About the internship program. It's not talking about E. You say it's talking about E. What's the basis for saying it's talking about E?
Why it violates this executive order is the maximum term for the executive order is 3 years. But the maximum term for 3205E is 3 years and 120 days.
Yeah, but you're not answering my question. What is the basis for concluding that the executive order eliminates the separate authority under E?
Because it violates the executive order.
Why?
The terms and conditions of they were required. The government was required to follow the terms and conditions of the executive order. 3205E does not do that. It was replaced. It was a pilot program. The letter, the November 4th, 1999 letter specifically stated that it was a pilot program.
Where does the executive order reference subsection E?
It doesn't, Your Honor.
Okay, that's your problem. No.
Let me be sure, on the basis of this colloquy, let me be sure I understand exactly where you are. Look at 22 of the appendix, page 22 of the appendix, please.
Yes, Your Honor.
That's the SF-50 that Ms. Chan was appointed under in 2005, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
At the top, it says legal authority 213-3205E. Down below, it says recruitment in accordance with 5 CFR 213-3205E. Now, do I understand you to say that they couldn't do that? Is that your position?
Yes, Your Honor.
That 3205E was illegal at that point.
It was wrong. That's correct.
And that's your case.
That's correct, Your Honor. If I can refer the court to our appendix number 28.
Okay.
Now let's start with number 27 first.
Your argument. Start where you want. Yes,
number 27, Your Honor. It's the November 4th, 1999 letter that specifically says, therefore, as an interim solution, you're granted Schedule B authority without conversion as a part of our piloting federal career internship program. And I'm reading, it's halfway down in the second.
This is actually 26, but go ahead.
Yes, Your Honor. This is 26.
26.
So it was specifically 3205E was specifically only to be used for the pilot phase. The pilot phase went from this letter date, November 4th, 1999, to the day before President Clinton signed the executive order 13162, which created the Federal Career Internship.
What's the basis for that conclusion?
Yeah, what is the basis for that?
Your Honor, because it specifically says in this letter, it's 3205E was only for the pilot program. That's it. And that was only 8 months, the pilot program itself.
Wasn't that trying to correct the original appointment of the SF-50 authority?
The letter that
you're referring to, that November 4th, 1999 letter, was that trying to correct the authority that might have been given under the SF-50?
For our case, Your Honor? No, because it was only a pilot phase. My client was hired on September 18, 2005. This is 5.5 years
after the pilot phase. But if the appointment in 2005 was incorrect, how was it corrected?
3205O, it was a mistake for the government to use 3505E. 3202O replaced the pilot program on July 6, 2000. Your Honor, I see my time's out. Is up, but if I could, page 28 of the appendix also says, as this authority, it's a third paragraph, as this authority is granted as a part of the career intern pilot program, compliance with the parameters of the program outlined in the executive order is required. They were required to follow executive order, the terms and conditions of executive order 13162, which created the Federal Career Internship Program. I see my time.
We'll restore 2 minutes of your rebuttal time.
What's that, Your Honor?
We'll restore 2 minutes of the rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We've got enough questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Friedman, whenever you're ready.
Good morning. May it please the court. When Ms. Chan was appointed to her intern position back in September 18, 2005, ATF had Schedule B appointing authority under the FCIP, or the Federal Career Intern Program, codified at 32020, and they also had agency-unique Schedule B appointing authority under 3205E.
Does the E authority still exist?
The E still existed.
Today?
It exists, according to the Federal Register. I just looked up the Federal Register as of 2009. It does not specifically list, it no longer lists this specific provision, but it still lists the same language that ATF has the ability to appoint special interns for a 3-year program. So it still exists. But for sure, it existed, as indicated by my brief on page 14, in the Federal Register, during the time of Ms. Chan's selection and well past the time of Ms.
Chan's selection. In 2005, the Federal Register continued to carry this program?
Yes.
2006?
Yes. 2007. And that's all listed in Federal Register sites on page 14 of my brief. And those Federal Register appointments are legal authority pursuant to 5 CFR 213.103, requiring OPM to list those authorities every June to show what's still legal authority for appointments. Now,
Ms. Friedman, let me ask you a question regarding the SF-50.
Yes.
If the appointing authority, the legal authority under that SF-50 was erroneous, was there a corrected SF-50 that was drafted and issued to correct the error of the first SF-50?
No, because the first SF-50 was not an error. It was a 3205E appointment. And we know that not just from the SF-50 form and not one place where it mentioned 3205E, but three places on the form where 3205 was mentioned, plus the OPM code for ATM unique Schedule B authority, and that is in the appendix, petitioner's appendix at page 59, where it lists different OPM legal authorities. And on the SF-50 form, it lists YCM on, I think it was block 5D on the SF-50 form, as it listed, I'm sorry, Y5M, indicating the 3205E authority rather than YCM, which would have indicated the O authority that denotes the Federal Career Intern Program.
But procedures and regulations do require that if the original SF-50 was issued in error and the authority was in error, don't you require a corrected SF-50?
Yes, but there was no
error. Is there one in the record?
But there was no error on the
presumption is that the first SF-50 was issued correctly.
Yes.
Under the proper authority.
Yes, and there is also evidence buttressing the fact that rather just not just the SF-50 that she was hired under the 3205E authority, and that is that she had many letters before her appointment that her appointment would be for a 3-year period. The regular federal career intern program would normally be for a 2-year period. So the fact that the duration, she was told that the duration would be 3 years from the get-go, indicated that it was an E appointment, not an O appointment.
Would it make a difference if it was an O appointment? I mean, since the authority under O could extend for 3 years, is the fact that they didn't get the internal approvals, is that a housekeeping regulation that the employee is barred from relying on, or is that something that affects the employee?
Well, persons' rights and benefits come from the appointment that they are appointed to.
No, I understand, but suppose that under the career internship program, she could still have been appointed for a 3-year period. They just needed to get an approval,
OPM,
which they didn't get.
Yes.
And what I'm asking is, if they didn't get the approval that they needed, what are the consequences of that? I mean, is that just a housekeeping matter that's internal to the government, or does that affect the actual appointment?
Well, if you're asking, well, what happens if I'm understanding your question correctly, if it
are you
was
aware of the line of cases that holds that certain government regulations and time limits are internal to the government and don't affect people with which the government deals? Are you familiar with those cases?
I'm not understanding.
Okay, then if you're not familiar with the case, it's hard for you to address the question.
Okay.
Ms. Friedman, in the December 6, 2007 letter from the Department of Justice to Ms. Chan, it says she was appointed in accordance with Executive Order 13162,
yes,
which is the O program.
Well,
my question to you then is, was the Department of Justice lying in 2005, or were they lying in 2007? Because those are inconsistent positions.
Okay. The executive order never revoked the E program. And what the executive order said was that the FSIP program would be complementary to existing programs. So the mere fact that the agency mislabeled the appointing authority doesn't take away from the nature of the authority itself, which is demonstrated by the appointment code on the SF-50 form, the agency's intention to have the appointment for 3 years, not 2 years, and the actual duration of the appointment.
So the government's position is simply that the 2007 document was erroneous, and that the authority of the 2005 document was still in effect in 2005.
Right. And mere mislabeling doesn't change the nature of the appointment.
Okay.
So, because Ms. Chan's 3205E appointment gave as a condition of the appointment a 3-year time limitation, her separation at the end of the 3 years did not constitute an adverse action, removal action under 5 U.S.C. 7512 and 7513. Her termination was not for a cause that would promote the efficiency of the service, which is usually what an adverse action is. It was rather an action under 5 CFR 752.401B11, which is a separation on the expiration date of a time-limited appointment, and that is not an appealable adverse action. Because there's a valid distinction between an agency taking an action to remove someone for cause and the natural termination of a time-limited appointment, there is no conflict between the statute at 7512 and 7513 and the regulation at 752.401B11, excluding separations such as Ms. Chan as appealable to the board. And if there are no other questions, I rest on the rest of the arguments in my brief, and I respectfully ask the court to affirm the board's decision.
Thank you, Ms. Friedman. Mr. Mulhern, you have two 2 minutes?
Your Honor, as to the intent, again, it's under the totality of the circumstances that we look at this case. The intent of ATF is not the proper standard. Just because an agency says something's right on the forms, or just because the agency requires my client to sign certain forms, doesn't mean that the agency's actions are correct. 3205E is an improper authority. It violates the Executive Order 13162, which created it. My client was hired on September 18, 2005, some 5.5 years later after this executive order was signed. If we look at the expiration of appointment issue and these time-limited issues, the Federal Career Internship Program is not a time-limited program. It does not have a not-to-exceed date. If we look at the August 2nd, 2005, the Federal Register, it specifically states they're made without not-to-exceed dates because these appointments are not time-limited. And the reason behind that is they're appointed to they can be appointed to a non-competitive conversion. If we also look at the CFR 752-401-B11 that the government's referenced to, you have to be terminated on the day of the expiration. My client was not terminated on the day of the expiration date of the program. She wasn't in the program after 2 years. She was employed for 3 years and a day. So the 452-401-B11 isn't even appropriate to this case. If the court has any other questions, I'm finished.
Thank you, Mr. Mulhern.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Case is submitted.